welcome to An Exploration of the Mass with the St. Raymond Onatus Foundation for Freedom, Family, and Faith and Patchwork Heart Ministry. This is our third episode where we are going to be talking about the liturgy of the Eucharist. So welcome, Bill Snyder, and it's great to be here with you.
Yeah, absolutely, Anne. I'm so excited. I can't wait to be talking about this again with you. This whole series has been so wonderful so far, and really, I've learned a lot. I've learned a lot from our conversation, and I've grown in faith a lot through our conversation on the Mass. And so, you know, now we're getting into the nitty-gritty parts of the Mass, where the part that really, really means something, because Jesus comes to us body, blood, soul, and divinity in the liturgy of the Eucharist, and just how beautiful that is. And so I'm excited to really delve into that today and even more next week, but real excited to do that with you today.
Yes, I'm excited as well. And for people who weren't able to watch the first two episodes, the first episode that we did for this exploration of the Mass is on preparing for Mass. So I just recommend that you can go and watch that one. And then, of course, we did the Liturgy of the Word for episode two. And here we are at the Liturgy of the Eucharist, which consists, of course, in the preparation of the gifts, the Eucharistic prayer, and in communion. And it is so exciting because this is really the highlight of the Mass. And the highlight of receiving the Eucharist is that coming together to pray as the priest consecrates the host. And I just think that's probably the most important part of going to Mass, is just leaving the Mass and knowing that you've received the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord, and partaking in the greatest prayer, which is the Mass. And of course, we're doing this series geared for our audience, and actually for anyone, but the St. Raymond Onatus Foundation's audience, of course, are those families who are in crisis. And sometimes when people are in crisis, unfortunately, they do walk away from their faith. They do have questions of faith. And one of those things that can happen sometimes is not attending Mass anymore. And so I just pulled up an article, which I thought we could kind of unpack. And this one is from Ascension Press, the parts of the Mass, the liturgy of the Eucharist. And at the beginning of this article, which is actually by Jeff Cavins, the great Jeff Cavins, says that there are two major movements in the Mass. First, we have the Liturgy of the Word, which of course we spoke about last time on our second one. And in the Liturgy of the Word, God spoke to us in a very intimate way and shared with us the key instruction for living to encourage, direct, and comfort us. And then we come to the Liturgy of the Eucharist, which it starts with the preparation of the gifts. Typically, a family from the church will make their way down the middle aisle with bread and wine. That family represents all of us. They make their entrance. They give to the priest the gifts, not only the bread and wine, but also the financial gifts that were given in the offering. So, Bill, let's just talk a little bit about that, the fact of those bringing up of the gifts. I know that my family and I have been able to do that sometimes at Mass, and it's really a blessing to be able to do that. And every week, you know, someone is chosen from the congregation to come up and to give those gifts. And then we prepare for receiving the body and blood of Christ. And in this article, it says that as the priest comes forward and begins his series of prayers, there's a couple things that you will notice, and you may not be sure exactly why they're happening. One of them is that the priest will take a small piece of the bread and he will mix it within the wine. What does this mean? It is symbolic of Christ's divinity and humanity mixed. Some cardinals have said that it's also a picture of us and humanity literally immersed into Christ's divinity, that the two of us, God and humanity, may become one, so much so that we become divinized. So those two topics we can discuss, which are the bringing up of the gifts and then the way that the priest takes the host and mixes it in with the wine. I think that's a beautiful image, Bill. Don't you think so?
Yeah, absolutely. And it also symbolizes that universality of the church, that we're all part of this, you know, body of Christ, and that we are. I love how Jeff Cavins puts that, immersed in that. There we are. There I am on the screen for you. We're all immersed in the body of Christ. Yeah, it's quite amazing when you look at that, how we just are immersed in his love. In addition to that, I would also say that, you know, that preparation of the gifts, going back a little bit, backtracking there a little bit. If we all remember at that point in the Mass to spiritually bring our gifts to the Lord, you know, and bring, you know, remember we have just gone into finished up the petitions, right? Last episode we talked about the petitions and we kind of left off there, right? Now we literally take all those prayers that we voiced and we bring them to the altar. We bring them up with us to the Lord. It is so beautiful. There is something so powerful about that, right? That it's not just spoken, Lord, hear our prayer, but then we carry ourselves and, you know, we carry everything up. We carry weakness. We carry our, you know, sinful inclinations. We carry all of these things. We place them before the altar of our Lord as the preparation of the gifts are happening. So as you think, okay, I'm contributing to the church. I'm dropping my money in the basket. I'm, you know, watching the, you know, the bread and wine go up. Think about yourself. And maybe, you know, you have brought the gifts up yourself at one point. But think about how the Lord is using, you know, you this week to, you know, using your bread that you're giving him, right? You're one of those little pieces of unleavened bread. You're one of them. And you are giving him all of your life and you're asking him to transform it and make it better and make it more than it was before, right? So that not only you recognize that Jesus in the host is truly body, blood, soul, divinity, God, but you also are trying to become more like him. And so I think if you recognize that, if you make that your prayer, that, you know, this is a collection of our petitions of where we are in life, what's going on in our, you know, daily mind, and then, you know, put all of that out there as that preparation of the gift song is playing. Put it out there and allow yourself to request from God that your person, that the person that you are might become something new, a new creation, this week. And that's the most beautiful thing about the Mass, is that we get to do that every single Sunday or every single day, right? If we really understand what's going on at the Mass at that point. So I just, you know, encourage you to do that during the preparation of the gifts. Make that spiritual, you know, prayer, that active, abandonment to God to say, hey, create in me a new heart. Give me something new. There's no part of the Mass that you should just be sitting back going, oh yeah, this is great. Let me check the time or, you know, whatever. Like, no, really put your heart into it. And if you do, I promise you, as you go through the Eucharistic prayers and everything that are going to follow, you're going to be much more engaged in it.
Yeah, 100%, Bill. Thank you so much. I'm really glad that we're doing this series because, as I said a little while ago, that I do believe that some of us, when we go through some kind of a trial or crisis or something, and I think everybody has, we're tempted to fall away from our faith. And so that's one reason why we wanted to do this series, especially the Foundation and Patchwork Heart, because we want to make that outreach for people who really need to be refreshed in their faith. And in terms of being Catholic, there's so many aspects of being Catholic, right? Number one aspect is the sacramental life. And the number one aspect of the sacramental life, of course, is the highlight of what we do every single week or even every day, and that's receiving the Eucharist and going to Mass. And so I want to pick up where I left off in the article from Jeff Cavins from Ascension. He says, then the priest does something very special. Maybe you were an altar server growing up and you help with this. The priest will turn to the side and on toward the altar boy and pour over his hands, and he'll wash his hands as he says a quiet prayer. Anybody who knows about the Bible and sacrifice knows that when a priest washes his hands, it means that a sacrifice is imminent. Then through the words and liturgical prayers that take place, the Eucharistic prayer, the priest will pray, and he says, this is my body. And then this is the blood of the covenant, new and everlasting covenant. Excuse me, I probably should rephrase that again, make sure I said it correctly. This is my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. Then the priest says those words and something happens. The bread and wine are changed into the body and blood of Christ. This all comes to a wonderful climax as we say amen at the end of the Eucharistic prayer. I mean, I don't know about you who are watching this podcast right now, but for me, that part is the highlight of the Mass, when the priest says, this is my body and this is my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. Because at that exact moment, that is when the bread and wine become Jesus Christ. And I know that, Bill, we have had other podcasts before where we have talked about the fact that in the Catholic Church, unfortunately, only, I think, less than 30% or so, I could be wrong what that exact number is, really believe in the real presence of Christ. So when you hear us say those words all the time, the body, the blood, the soul, and divinity, we're saying it for a reason. We're saying it because as Catholics, that's what we believe. And that's why we're so reverent when we go to Mass, or why we should be so reverent, right? And that's why we're even doing what we're doing by doing this series and exploration of the Mass. Mm-hmm. And so I do think that this is a beautiful thing that we should really unpack. I want to mention too that Bill and I are going to do our last series for this podcast, for this whole four-part series, is that we are going to do it on the Eucharistic prayers. And so we aren't going to spend a ton of time talking about that on this one. We want to talk about the full liturgy of the Eucharist. But Bill, I didn't know if you had any thoughts on what I just said, especially on the consecration of the host and the blood of Christ.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think it's really important, obviously, that we hone in on this part of the Mass, right? Like, we really need to understand that this part of the Mass is of chief importance for us. And it's because of what, you know, you mentioned, Anne, about sacrifice. You know, as Jeff Caven says, like, you know, here, the washing of the hands, right, that lavabo, that is signifying that something really important is going to happen, that God is going to sacrifice himself for us again right here. And, you know, it's so special because for me as a Catholic, and I think for you probably too, Anne, there's nothing greater on earth than recognizing that our God is coming physically, body, blood, soul, divinity, to us. Like, he is, there's not another religion on the face of the planet, not another one that believes, okay, the Greek Orthodox believe it too, but there's not another one outside of the Greek Orthodox and the Catholic Church. There's not another religion on the face of the planet that believes that their God is physically present with them on this earth and wants to dwell inside their heart. Right? So I always say that. I know I've said that on, you know, on our channels before, but it's so worth saying again, because there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that you know, is of more importance in this life. Nothing more important in this life than understanding that at this moment we get to participate in our God coming again to earth. This is not something that happened 2,000 years ago once. This happens again and again and again and again and again every single Mass. Because Jesus says, I am not going to leave you orphaned. I am not going to leave you alone, right? I will be with you to the end of the age. And it's through the power of the Holy Spirit, it's through his advocate, that he is made present on the altar through the person of the priest. Right? And wow, that should just wow us. It should stop us in our tracks. And we should just be absolutely blown away when we attend Mass. And, you know, that's kind of, you know, weird for some of us to hear that in, isn't it? Because when we're growing up, we just think, oh, Mass is boring, or, you know, so many of us have fallen into that. This is so routine. This is so routine. This is so routine. But no, this is really, like, we should be experiencing God's love and the radical outpouring of God's love, you know, in such a way that it moves us, that it shakes us, that it creates a new heart in us and empowers us to go out and live in the world, in a way that transforms the world, so that we are not of the world but in the world, transforming the world, bringing it closer to the heart and mind of Christ. So, I mean, you know, for me, the Eucharist and this Eucharistic prayer is the reason why we go to Mass, right? Do we encounter Jesus Christ, you know, in the flesh every single week?
Yes, Bill, it is. Thank you very much for everything that you said. As dramatic as we're both sounding, I mean, that's what it is, right? It's a very dramatic thing that happens when every single Mass, not just at Sunday Mass, at daily Mass, every day of the year, at all times, in all countries of the world, there's a Mass going on somewhere, isn't there, Bill? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we got to think about that, too, that we can offer our prayers for all those Masses that are happening in just about every place of the world. Yeah. And we should be so grateful that when Jesus said in the Bible that he would never, ever leave. And that's part of what that means exactly, isn't it? That he is with us through the Mass and through the Eucharist. And So the next thing that happens, of course, is that, you know, we go up for communion. And I think when we go up for communion, the way that we receive, of course, we've heard people who say that you can either receive on the tongue, receive in the hands, and we've heard different opinions about that from all kinds of people. The church does not require that we have to receive on the tongue, but it is a reverent way that we can do that if we choose to, right? Mm-hmm. And so, but I think the point is that as you go up to receive our Lord, is that you're doing it with a reverent heart and a grateful heart, right? And we're doing it very respectfully. If you're using your hands to put the Eucharist inside and consume through your mouth, you know, into your mouth, then you want to make sure that you're doing it the proper way, the way that you're putting your hands out, so that the priest or the extraordinary minister can place the host in the middle of your palm and that you can place the Eucharist inside your mouth. Mm-hmm. So I just had to mention that too. Now, after that happens, we go back to our seats, we pray. And to me, aside from the consecration and those Eucharistic prayers, to me, that prayer that I have in my heart, where I take a few moments to place my head down and just to really concentrate on the fact that Jesus is now inside of me, inside my heart, my body, my soul, my mind, he's with me 100%. And so I take that time to reflect. I take that time to offer out all of my prayers. And after that's finished, and of course there's hymns, the communion hymns that are going on at the same time, then, you know, we're coming close to the end of the Mass, aren't we? And we're coming close to that time that we're going to be leaving and going forth. So, Bill, I didn't know if you had anything to say on that, because you've talked before about the fact of, you know, what's our next obligation in terms of after we leave Mass, right? It's not over then, is it?
Yeah, right. You know, Mass is all about leaving. I know that I've said that multiple times on our channels. And the reason for Mass being all about leaving is that it's the phrase at the end of Mass that says, you know, Et a missa est, the Mass is ended, go in peace to love and serve the Lord. And then we have all of those other beautiful ones that the deacon or the priest can say when he says, glorifying the Lord by your lives, or whatever other closing to the Mass is all about. But, you know, I personally love that the closing to the Mass when the priest says, go in peace, glorifying the Lord by your life. Like, that is just very profound for me, and it wraps up the entire Mass. You know, that's what this is all about. It's about, you know, taking the hour that we just spent in worship and bringing it out into our life, bringing it out into our daily life. Whether we're going to Mass daily or we're going to Mass weekly, we are to bring Jesus out into the world. You know, and if all we are doing is going to Mass to go to Mass, then I think we've missed the point. We're going to Mass to worship God. We're going to Mass to be close to God, to be in communion with him. And then, just like Jesus says to the 72, just like he says to the 12, go out and make disciples of all nations. Go out and bring people, you know, closer to me. we've got to do that. And the cool thing is that Christ, you know, is with us, right? As Anne mentioned, you know, that time when we have to pray after communion, after we receive Jesus, when he's bodily with us, inside of us, dwelling within us, is a perfect time to, you know, once again, recommit ourselves to him and recommit ourselves to allowing him to use us for his mission, to fulfill his will in the world and in our own lives. And so I think that, you know, if you really take a deep, deep look at the Mass and you really look at what we are being called to do, which is first and foremost worship God with our whole hearts, minds, and souls, and then of course go out and bring that love out into the world, like, there's you to me, you can't be any more prepared, right? Like you can't be any more prepared than having the Son of God dwelling in your heart as you go do that. You know, some people say that the Eucharist lasts with you in your body as it digests through your system for about 15 or so minutes. Imagine that, right? Imagine that. The other thing I'll quickly share, Anne, is that we talk about that leaving, talk about going forth. Many years ago in our church, the people who were seeking to enter in, go through RCIA, maybe it wasn't called RCIA, but those people who had to leave after the liturgy of the word, right? They could stay for the liturgy of the word as they were preparing to become Catholics, but then they would have to leave. They wouldn't be allowed to stay for the remainder of the Mass because that was reserved for full Catholics, those who had been fully initiated into the church. But many of them, just to catch a glimpse of Christ, would wait on the steps outside of church. Imagine this going on today in the RCIA programs, where, you know, hey, you weren't allowed to stay for the second half of the Mass like you are today. You had to leave church. And they would kneel on the stairs of the church and wait for the people to leave because they knew that Christ was in them. And that, I mean, imagine that kind of faith, right? Imagine that beauty to see the catechumens waiting to enter into the church in, you know, the early church, just waiting on the steps to catch a glimpse of you or me carrying Jesus inside of us as he runs through our veins. Like, it's wild, right? It's incredible that we have that, you know, in our church's history. And imagine if we went back to that today, all these people in RCIA programs, you know, just kneeling outside a church waiting for us to come out, us, you and me, because Jesus is within us. And waiting for us to give them a glimpse of Christ. I mean, isn't that amazing? Isn't that what this is all about? That we're supposed to go give a glimpse of Christ to the world that's broken and bruised and crazy in so many different respects. We've really got to look at that as our mission as we leave Mass, that we are to give that glimpse of Christ, to give a part of Christ to the world so that they can, so those in the world can be transformed as well.
Yeah, I love that word transformed, because that's what it is. And that's a beautiful image to think that simply looking at a person who's received the Eucharist is a blessing to somebody else, really. And it is. And I think if we really think about that and ponder upon it even more, especially those who are watching on this video and thinking maybe you're away from your faith, and just being able to hear those words of what that tremendous blessing of receiving Jesus in the Mass, coming to Mass, receiving the Eucharist. And I did find another little resource that I just wanted to mention, an article from Catholic Digest called "Mass Has Ended, Go in Peace." And the author says that was talking about peace. And one of the things that they mentioned in this article is that the simple words "go in peace" not only indicate that we are to go into the world ensconced in the peace of God, but that we are going to the world to spread the peace to others. The peace of God is won through repentance and reconciliation. So it becomes our task to go in peace as agents of reconciliation in the world. It is almost as if we aren't incarnations of peace sent out into a darkened world. And I thought that was really beautiful because it's kind of what Bill was just talking about. We talked about the liturgy of the Eucharist during this video, and we're going to be talking about the Eucharistic prayers next time. When we speak about that, we're really going to be able to unpack exactly those words that the priest prays that make it all happen, right, Bill?
Yeah.
And so I would just encourage all of you to please do come and watch that last one that we're going to do, because we're speaking about basically today is kind of like the ending of Mass, but we're going to backtrack and talk about those Eucharistic prayers, because really that is the heart of what's being prayed, isn't it, Bill?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And yeah, we feel very strongly about, you know, doing that, because I think, again, we oftentimes don't enter fully into Mass. I mean, you know, I mean, I know I've got a 2-year-old, and when I take him to Mass, like I did this week, it's a challenge, right? To just pay attention and listen and know. And I've, you know, had the blessing of, you know, living with priests in a discernment program and understanding the Eucharistic prayers and all of that. I've had that blessing in my life. You know, trying to, you know, explain that to a 2-year-old, you know, good luck. And number two, you know, trying to enter in and remember that, you know, with, you know, while that's going on and really be present, isn't necessarily always possible. And so revisiting that, looking at that, taking a deeper way and a deeper glance at the Eucharistic prayers next time to wrap up will really, I believe, help us, you know, pay attention more at Mass and remember what's going on at Mass, because these words have meaning, right, Anne? Like, these words have, you know, significance, and these words do something. They create Jesus present in what looks like bread and wine. I mean, these words clearly have power. So we've got to take a look at them in depth and really, you know, glance at them, or give more than just a glance, or a cursory passing at it, because there is so much. And folks, we're not going to be able to get through all 4 Eucharistic prayers. We're not going to be able to get through all of that in an episode. But at least be able to pick out some of the really, really important things that can help you focus as you attend Mass, and help you pay attention more and pick up more on your own. You know, I think there's something that these words are above and beyond. They're eternal, right? And so when we go into Mass, these words that we're listening to in the Eucharistic prayer and praying along with the priest, when we encounter those words and we hear those words, I think there's always something new and fresh that can impact us. Even if we've heard them a gazillion times, there's something new that we can always, you know, hear and grow from, right, Anne? So I'm excited to take a look at that with you next time. I really am.
Yes, I'm very excited about it too, because the reason that we're doing this, of course, it's that time of reflection on the Eucharist, and the United States and also beyond the United States are really taking a step back and saying, let's really examine who Jesus is in the Eucharist. Let's really love him more. Let's spread the word. Let's educate. And so that's part of why we're doing this. We're trying and attempting to not only educate you, but ourselves too, right? Because we all need to be educated on our faith on an ongoing basis. It's not something that it's never once and done, is it? Mm-hmm. And so I would just recommend to one of the basic resources that all of you can go to learn more about the Mass and the Eucharist, of course, is our own Conference of Bishops website, the usccb.org. If you just key in the Eucharist or the Mass, there's all kinds of resources there, and even the Vatican website too. And there's beautiful videos on Ascension Press, of course, from people like Father Mike Schmitz has done one on the Mass, and Bishop Barron has done so much. So we're just kind of adding to it all, aren't we, Bill? I mean, we're adding to the fact that we want to educate, catechize, pray for, and really walk alongside everybody who's watching this video with us. We're all walking together, aren't we, Bill? It's
absolutely
just been a pleasure to be able to present this with you.
Oh, absolutely.
And yes.
Yeah.
So thank you. And just a shout out to to all of you to look at the resources that we have available on both Bill's website, which is patchworkheart.org. Bill also did a whole documentary with Fiat Ministry Network on the Shroud of Turin. Now, I know it's a side topic, but it helps for people to really get to know the importance of that relationship with Christ, doesn't it? Okay. So, Bill, I don't know if you want to take a few minutes and talk about that, too, for our audience.
Oh, sure. I mean, you know, look, if you are interested in learning more about Jesus, right, if you're interested in learning more about his sacrifice, especially what that means in your life, take a look at our documentary, Who Do You Say I Am? That's the title of it. And it's really blending science and faith together. And we delve into if the shroud is the burial cloth of Jesus, what does that mean for us today as Catholics? What does that mean for us and how we live and how we understand this sacrifice, you know, that we encounter in the Mass every single Sunday, right? So take a look at the documentary if it is something that you want to delve into understanding Christ's sacrifice a little bit more. You know, and at times it's gory and bloody and all of that, you know, not on the screen, but in our descriptions, in the experts' descriptions, it can be quite, you know, shocking to hear. But you know, just think of that and that horrific act of crucifixion as the thing that gave us salvation, right? You know, it gave us salvation. And then this is represented in an unbloody way at Mass every single time we celebrate it. And so if you're interested in learning more about the documentary, go over to my website, patchworkheart.org. And we're super excited to bring that to you and to bring that to everybody as well. You know, and if your parish or your pastor or your parish that wants to bring it and have a showing, we have options for you as well. So, Anne, thank you. This has been wonderful, and you know, looking forward to the fourth and final part of the series. And I'm sure we'll be doing many more series and other things together in the future as well. So, thank you for your time and wisdom. I mean, there's so much wisdom in what we shared, and I know that I grew in faith today. So, thank you.
Oh, thank you too, Bill. And also just a reminder to all of you of those free resources at nonatus.org for families in crisis. So thank you again, Bill, and we'll see you on this next one.